It's time for Golf DMV, the podcast highlighting golf in D.C., Maryland, and Virginia. Low handicap, high handicap, or somewhere in between. If you love golf, you're in the right place. PGA, LPGA, industry trends. Golf DMV has it covered. And now, here is Claude Jennings.
Another edition of the Golf DMV podcast. Sherm's in studio. Sherm, what's up?
What's up?
LB's in studio. What up, LB?
Hello.
And we've got Vern on the phone. Now, here's the deal. As we look out the windows now in one of our many locations, it's sunny right now, and it's good. However, which is odd, we record on a Friday.
Yes.
Usually it's pouring down raining on a Friday.
Right.
Like 2 weeks ago, it, you know, when we were at PBDI for the golf tournament, pouring down raining.
Tornado warnings and everything.
Exactly. I don't know what it's been about April, but we've been getting weekends where there's been nothing but rain in the DMV.
Yeah, now that it's May, we're still doing that.
Exactly. And so we'll see how this all works out because we've got Mother's Day golf rounds coming up on Sunday. Mother's Day, of course, this Sunday. Oh, by the way, speaking of special days, shout out to your wife, Bernanda. It's her birthday today.
Happy birthday, Bernanda.
There we go. Happy birthday.
There's it's always a double whammy for me.
Is it always right before Mother's Day?
It's either on Mother's Day or right around it. So, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Two for one.
So, the way we're celebrating Mother's Day, Vern, LB, and myself, is we're going to play a round of golf in the morning.
Makes perfect sense to me.
So, here's the deal. If you remember on the 100th episode, we talked about the fact that there's all this strangeness when it comes to rounds in the rain, right? Like, okay, we're projecting rain. We always text the day before, like, hey, are we going? We vowed to stop doing that. So, proactively, I text messaged Vern and LB, said, okay, so we know what the forecast looks like. In an effort for us to open communications ahead of time,
right,
what are we going to do? And so we decided
there's a 100% chance of rain on Sunday, by the way.
And so we decided
it's down to 90.
That's all.
And that's all we need is 10%. Right. Because of that, we're going to go ahead and we're going to play Sunday. The plan is to play. So what we're going to do today on this show, we're going to talk a little bit about the Paul Wilson situation. We're going to evaluate Paul Wilson a month and a half out, or maybe not even a month and a half, a month and a couple of weeks post
Paul Wilson. That would be a month and a half. But
that would be a month and a half, wouldn't it? So we're going to evaluate those lessons.
But we know how you guys are counting days and months. So
yeah, how many, Sherman, how many days are in this month?
There are 31.
Okay. But first,
how many were in last month?
What was last month? April. 30.
Right. So then there's 31.
I literally guessed.
This is not that hard.
I guessed that. I had no clue that there was 30 days in April. But first, Vern and LB played around at Enterprise earlier this week.
Yes.
The reason you guys chose Enterprise was because you wanted to play somewhere closer to the city because you had obligations, right?
Yeah, I had to go downtown for some obligations.
He had obligations. Yeah. And so you and Vern decided to play Enterprise.
Yeah.
We got Vern on the phone. Vern, what's up?
What's up? What's happening?
Not a lot, man. And so we'll start with LB, and then we'll go to Vern. Enterprise, from what I just remember, you know, is usually in really good condition. What kind of shape was the course in?
Good condition.
Okay. All right.
It didn't disappoint. The greens were beautiful. Again, we've had so much rain. There's no excuse for courses not to be lush and green at this time of the year. And I think Enterprise was in prime shape, prime May, early May shape. Greens were beautiful. There wasn't a lot of people there either because it was a Tuesday. It was Tuesday, right, Brian? Yeah, Tuesday. So wasn't crowded at all. There was a twosome in front of us, and they two older guys. Let's say older; they were older than me.
Okay.
So they let us play through on the first hole. Actually, between first and second hole, they stopped and let us play through.
Well, that's one of the things too with Enterprise is that I mean, reputation, good condition, usually when you're out there, but also it could take a day to play
because it's so many people. 7:30 tee time.
Okay.
So it was pretty. It was obviously pretty early. It was just, like I said, those two guys had just teed off, and when they were on the green, we were already waiting to hit our approach shot.
Okay.
So they waited and let us play through to the second hole.
That was nice of them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, the one guy was looking for a ball. He looked for that ball for 15 minutes. I kid you not.
we know people minutes. Like that.
Yeah. Well, this guy looked for that ball in the back behind the green of hole number one for 15 minutes.
He was determined to find that.
Must have been his only ball.
I kept saying, what is he doing back there? I was like, well, why?
He probably showed up like Rick McCormick with one ball and didn't have a glove box full of him in the car.
Go back to the house to the car to get his box of balls.
Oh, shout out to the assistant manager I met, Randall Thompson, at the Enterprise. And I checked in the other day. I told him about the podcast.
Randall, what up?
So hopefully he's a new listener. And maybe at some point, if he has something good to say about us or we have something good to say about him, we can get him on the show, man.
Absolutely.
But again, to Randall and the management's credit there at Enterprise, the course is in really good shape. Mm-hmm. I'm definitely not disappointed. They've taken a couple holes, though. They have roped off now that they are car path only.
Number.
And I don't know if it's going to be permanent. But I take that back. I think it will be permanent based on the way they have roped them off.
Okay.
They didn't just put rope. They put a fence, basically.
Oh, wow.
Okay. A stockade, split rail type fence around it. So you can't, you can only walk into that.
Right.
I think this hole number 10, 11, 12. Hole number 12 is car path only now. There was one more, I think, that they did. I can't remember the number.
But, and that's worth it. I mean, if it's going to, keep the course in good condition,
yeah,
right? I mean, not all the holes, but I mean.
No, you have to.
Yeah, because that particular hole, too, is really tree-lined, so it doesn't get a lot of sun. I think that's maybe one of the reasons they did it, because now it's really nice in that area. So that's the only hole thing I can think of. The other thing I had problems with was the sand traps.
Okay.
A couple of sand traps were deceptively thin of sand.
Okay, they didn't have grass growing out of them like cross.
No, they look nice, right. But when I swung into it, it was hard underneath. It was like maybe a half an inch of sand, and then
clay,
firm
basically.
Underneath of that. So I bladed two sand shots that cost me at least three or four shots.
Because you're trying to dig in,
trying to get it, to a closer pin, a tight pin location, and I hit it across the green.
Right.
So that cost me some strokes. But other than that, the course was in good shape. Vern, of course, came in hot, as usual.
Right.
He lives 15 minutes away. I live an hour, and he came in hot. But that's my
Vern.
Man.
Well, I mean, LB covered most of it. I'll give you two things. One thing that I did bring up in our little video course recap, which I'm editing now, that should be up this weekend, was that – I think the previous week we played Bristol Manor, and that was 6,300 yards. And then we played from the, Whites Enterprise or whatever, basically from the 6,300 yard tees.
Yeah.
And I told LB, I was like, man, Enterprise is not difficult. It's not laid out very difficult. Not nearly as, doesn't require near as much shot making as Bristol does, but it felt much, much longer. So this is the first time that I've actually got to see back to back the difference between a course that require, it's technically listed as 6,300 yards, but there's a lot of bends and requires shot making versus a 6,300 yard course that's just straight out.
Right.
You feel every bit of that. You feel every bit of that 6,300 yards. I think on hole 17, LB hit an excellent tee shot on one of the hole 17 is like a really long par four. Like you drive it 216, you've got like 180 into the green, So he hit a beautiful forward in there, but like that's an example of Enterprise playing much longer because it's much straighter. And I don't think as many times as I played there, I'd never noticed it because, it just was highlighted because we had previously played Bristol where it technically had the same yardage, but it felt much shorter. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of, a lot of dog legs and stuff. So other than that, great condition. Green's in great condition. Quick tip though, I just saw a thing the other day, it'll be about how to get out. Like if you get to a golf course and you realize the sand traps look fine, but they're very kind of hard at the bottom or it's going to skip. The way to do that is you step into the sand trap, open up your wedge, like open it all the way up, and you basically just bury it like an inch and a half behind the ball. Just stop it in the sand. It'll pop straight up and come out. I just happened to see a tip on that the other day on YouTube. So you don't skip it. The guy was like, look, you're an amateur. You basically just don't want to fly it over the green, and it's hard. Just open it up and bury it behind it, and it kind of works like a punch. And you just kind of punch it, it pops right up, and it comes out. I actually tried it at Lake Pres yesterday, whatever, and it worked. So,
okay. Well, see, I went to Blue Mash yesterday, and I specifically went to the two things I worked on specifically was my 9-iron, which has been giving me blues. So I'm not sure why.
I remember you were saying that.
And I went in the sand trap yesterday to work on that, and I didn't have any problems at Blue Mash. I use basically two clubs. I either use a sand wedge or I use a lob wedge out of the sand, and I open both of them up as wide as I can. I'll try that next time too. If I need to.
These are just in the cases too, where, like you said, if you're able to test out a bunker before you go out for the round, like it seems just kind of shallow or whatever. So.
Well, that's the thing. You don't really get that opportunity. Most places don't even have a sand trap to practice.
Right.
And if they do have it, then it's not the same as what you're going to find on the course anyway. You know what I mean? So
if I'm getting you guys right, it sounds like Enterprise plays longer, but Bristol was the more difficult course, or was Enterprise more difficult?
Well, if in the words of John Daly, "Grip it and rip it," that's more of an Enterprise type course. It's 6,300, but you can grip and rip it because it's pretty straight.
Right.
depends on your game, Claude. That's what it sounds like, basically. Like, if you're solid with those irons, like, you can hit a nice 200. If you can, I feel like at Bristow, if you have a 180 to 200 yard iron shot consistent in your bag on down, you could probably get around there without the driver at all. Yeah. I feel like.
Oh wow.
As opposed to Enterprise, I guess you could do it there with two if you're really consistent with 200 yards, but you're going to feel every bit of that distance. So it just kind of depends on your game. But yeah.
Oh, right. This is before we leave Enterprise, so I don't want to forget. This is out of the last three rounds Vern's had. This is his second chip in from the rough.
I remember the one at where were we?
That Hampshire Green. Hampshire Green. Where he had another one at Enterprise.
Hey Vern, do you care to walk us through that situation at Enterprise? How did this all go?
No. So the one at Hampshire Green was more epic because I was really charged up for that round. So this one, I didn't throw my hat down. I didn't cuss and hump the air or anything. I just put it in. Yeah, but
that one at Hampshire Green, you would have thought that Vern was about to get a green jacket. You know what I mean? But I was happy for my man though.
If you think that one was bad, you should have saw when he and I was at LP when he did it.
Okay,
I mean that was nothing compared to his reaction to LP.
Well, he did it one time when we were down in Myrtle Beach.
Oh,
we did.
Yeah, I remember that because you were the group in front of me. And you let out like a tribal call, like that, like echoed throughout. You would have thought Tiger Woods just did it, you know, through the echoes of the golf course.
I did the Triple H.
Yep, you sure did. You did the
discount double check.
Yeah,
thing
you did the discount double check.
Hey, sometimes it's like that.
Yeah.
You know, for anybody in the DMV looking for a good muni to play, LB. Enterprise.
Okay. Yeah. How much did it cost?
49.
That's what I'm talking. Oak Creek needs to take a lesson from that. By the way,
Oak Creek, I mean, same price. Oak Creek was 49.
Oh, okay. Oh, well. Where? Okay, right. Now, Vern, same thing with you. You get your recommendation?
100%. Yep.
Now, here's the thing. So, my brother in law, Chris, texted me the other day. He and his buddies were playing Woodmore.
Mm hmm.
He said, it's going down, man. Really? Well, Lamar said the same thing. He's a member at Woodmore.
Yeah. Why?
He said, it's going down. Conditions are bad. He said,
do they not have the membership?
I don't know what it is. So I know that last year it was pretty tough, and they lost a lot of members.
Well, here's the issue I have with that. The issue I have with Woodmore. Enterprise is about a mile away as a crow flies.
Mm-hmm.
There's no reason a muni should be having good conditions, and you're a $5,000 country club.
But we've seen this before where these courses come out and they're the jewel of the area. Mm-hmm. And then in 2 years, they're ran down. I have
but
no clue why that
for a while, though.
I have no clue why that pattern continues. Why it happened to Lake Presidential. It happened to Oak Creek. It happened to it's happening now to Woodmore. It's happened to PB Dye.
Mm-hmm.
What is it that these courses come out? They're hot. And the next thing you know, it goes down.
Yeah, maybe it's a change in management. I don't know.
Or if they're using the wrong type of grass, which is what happened in Marlton.
Right.
So, I mean, yeah,
but,
I mean, when
you would think at Woodmore, that shouldn't have been an issue because they've been there for so long. They wouldn't have.
I agree 100%. Every time I played the course, it's like playing,
nice course. Right.
Yeah, I mean, it's like an extremely nice course. Yeah. No, yeah. I mean, it's like, you know, everything about it is great.
Yeah. That locker room, you can't mess with that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, the locker room, yeah, for sure. But, I mean, the course is beautiful. It's always been. So, it's really. I don't know. It's crazy that's happening.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
I wonder if they change management.
I don't know. We'll see.
Why don't you ask Lamar?
We'll get Lamar. Yeah, we'll see what Lamar has on that. Let's jump to this Paul Wilson thing. LB last week emphatically wanted to discuss the progress or the lack thereof in our golf games, given the Paul Wilson lessons. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, LB, we'll start.
Well, no,
with
y'all go first.
Okay, Fern, you're the one on the phone. So. You go ahead and go first with these Paul Wilson evaluations.
Okay. All right. So definitely has helped me in some aspects of the swing. I will say that, and this could be true for any teacher, some of the triggers and the keys and the techniques of his system, one of them particularly the knees touching, actually exacerbated a problem that I have. But to be fair to him, he didn't know, like, I know that, and I knew, I was like, okay, I'm going to have to, like, keep this in check, but he couldn't have known that. So overall, I'll say, like, he definitely, ever since then, I played better because he definitely got my, like the feeling of my hands being relaxed and stuff like that, instead of me moving around, he showed me that I am actually moving them, stuff like that. That part has been 100% positive. And then, you know, the rest of the golf game, I'm basically taking his system and just sort of tweaking it to my individual, my individual game or whatever. So I think I know what LB is going to come with, but I'm going to let him get his point out first so that I can counter and maybe push back. I think there's some criticism coming, but overall, he did help me out a lot. So,
Okay.
So to your point, Vern, I'm not going to criticize him because, initially I did because okay. I was not seeing the results at all.
Okay.
I did see, I take that back. Not at all is not correct. I saw some changes. I saw some improvements in some areas, but I didn't see what I thought I should see.
Okay.
I expected to see more improvement faster because like I said, you being Claude and Vern, I could see the difference in yours games immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Well, within a couple of rounds,
right.
I could see a difference.
Yeah, no, right.
And I still felt like I regressed.
Okay.
So that's where my frustration was.
Mm-hmm.
But again, so I went to the since Vern and I played since Tuesday, I've been doing some more practicing at home,
mm-hmm.
and I went to the
practicing the same Paul Wilson stuff.
So one of the differences because Vern and I talked about this last Tuesday was. One of the things I would do in my office was I wasn't taking a complete full swing. I was just doing from, I don't know, shoulder height to shoulder height, mm-hmm. turning my hands
the
over.
The L thing that he says with right. the arms and the club make an L.
Right.
Back
so
swing
I was just
and.
I was just doing that. But mm-hmm. I wasn't taking a complete full swing. Because my ceiling I'd be hitting the ceiling in my
right. That's
ceiling.
Not the part of the house that has the vaulted
right.
ceiling.
Exactly. Exactly. So what I had done. My wife hasn't noticed this yet. Is I moved the coffee table back in the living because the living room has a vaulted ceiling.
Mm-hmm.
So I have a club in there. Mm-hmm. I put an extra little piece of carpet so I can hit yep. on to brush the turf with basically. Mm-hmm. And I've been taking full swings in the living room.
Ah.
Then yesterday I went to the driving range, and I specifically worked on the 9-iron, which was giving me the blues.
Yep.
And I worked on the Santa trap as well, but. So what I have determined is that I can't do the complete Paul Wilson swing.
Okay.
So like Vern said, I've taken some of this stuff that he told me that was very helpful mm-hmm. to me. One in particular was I have a habit of when I address the ball, I take my arms out
mm-hmm.
instead of back.
Right.
I've always done that.
Yeah.
And because he told me when he first evaluated my swing, he said, you take your arms out and up. And then when you come down, you got to readjust body to get back
the swing plane, right?
Right, mm-hmm. to get back on plane. So what he gave me a tip how to correct that. So I've been doing that. That has made a difference mm-hmm. in my swing.
Mm-hmm.
But trying to turn the hands over and all that stuff, I don't worry about that. the two things that I do, the two triggers I have for Paul that are working, at least was working yesterday on the range,
mm-hmm.
because I couldn't hit the 9 at all. Yesterday I hit probably out of 20 balls, I hit 19 of them fine.
Okay, nice.
So I do the takeaway that he gave me, that tip, and the other tip is once I go around, I take the full turn
mm-hmm.
and make the back of that club touch the back of my cap.
Right.
So in between those two things, I noticed a completely different swing yesterday.
Nice.
So I take back all the negative stuff I said about Paul, but I might come back to that next week
depending on how you play on Sunday.
So I keep that card and hold that card in my hand just in case I need to play that one. But so far, I can't because Rodney and I had the same conversation where he was saying, you know, just because he says these 10 things. You may not be able to may not need those 10 things.
Right.
Because,
right.
I told you, because of my wrist injuries that I've had over my lifetime, they don't turn like everybody
turning
else.
Turning your wrist over ain't going to work.
Yeah. They just don't, you know, I can turn it, but it don't turn as much as everybody else's. So mm-hmm. I don't know if that has part of it, was part of the reason, but I think, and I put that in air quotes double time.
Right.
I think I understand what I need to do now
mm-hmm.
to get back to where I was and to be hopefully a little bit more consistent with my irons.
Right. Yeah. So for me, the Paul Wilson stuff, I think it's like you pointed out, I think it is working for me in two areas. One, it's giving me a little more distance, a little more. Mm-hmm. It's giving me more mm-hmm. distance,
right,
you know,
right.
sizably more difference where there are greens where I just knew I can't hit,
mm-hmm.
you know, from certain distance with certain clubs to where I'm hitting them now.
Right,
you know what I mean?
Right.
So it's giving me the distance. And like the slice with the driver so had, mm-hmm. is pretty much I mean, knock on wood.
Right,
I mean,
exactly.
You know,
right.
Recently, it's gone. You know what I mean? To where the miss now has been actually kind of hooking it right a little bit more, way more than I used to before. But I think the issue was, and I found this out because so there was a big difference between with my driver when Vern Sherman and I played Oak Creek, than when we played Hampshire Greens. It's just a matter of days because I was still in the Paul Wilson mode of trying to. Turn the club head over. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I had been practicing it so much at home that it was becoming automatic. And he said that would happen.
Yeah.
And then he said, it's going to become a point where you don't have to do that anymore. And then we get the Hampshire Greens. I'm not going to turn my wrist over anymore. You know, just going to see if that's the issue. And that was like, once I did that, it was pretty much going straight. Exactly. And so, the thing with the touch and the knees, I'm almost with Vern, like that I kind of left behind, but I still do the finish the way way that he said finish.
Yeah.
And I create that torque. Where I rotate the upper half of my body, leave the bottom half alone, and then try to explode through.
Right.
And the cool thing is, like you said, and Rodney has said the same thing, you don't have to take everything he gave us. And even with the triggers for the downswing, he said, here's six triggers.
Right, pick one.
Pick one that works for you.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
And that's the thing I liked about Paul was that a lot of it was just trying to be comfortable with what you naturally kind of do when you swing the club. You know what I mean?
Right.
And so, yeah, that worked pretty good for me, I think. I mean, and he also said wait till about August or September to kind of evaluate. Mm-hmm. And he said you got to continue to do what he, you know, did. And you're doing a great job of that. But remember, LB, I mean, he can fix certain things, but I've said this before, you're so close to being a mid-80s golfer. It's just two or three holes that blow up that hold you from it. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so, I had four the other day.
Exactly. And that's the thing. But like, and even with me, it's like, yeah, Paul Wilson can fix the swing, but one of my biggest issue was always putting. Mm-hmm. And it's like if I putt better and eliminate 14 three putts around, you know what I mean? That's going to drop the stroke like 10, ten strokes. Yeah, like that's a big, like putting better is a big deal.
100 yards and in, I think, is the most important part of golf.
Right. Mm-hmm. Oh, 100%.
Yeah, 100%. Because if you can't get home, you know, from a sand wedge in, I mean, if you're adding – let's say sand wedge in should really be three strokes. I mean, at the most.
Or I'll tell you what. That's right. I would extend it back almost to what LB was saying last year. If anything, 150 and in. 150 and in should be your bread.
Should be three strokes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Get on the green, two putt.
Right.
Or at least if you go a little short, chip up and down, it should be good.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, it should be three strokes. So if you're 150, I mean, and I somewhat even want to say 125 just because of newer golfers. But even if it's 125, you know, just to, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Everybody can't hit a 7-iron, find the middle of the green every time.
Right.
But 125 is a pitching wedge, 125, 130, whatever. Mm-hmm. But you should be able to get home in three strokes from there.
Right.
So at the worst you should be doing, you know, I mean, even if it takes two or three to get there, on a par four, you're looking at a double bogey.
Right.
But if you're hitting the green from 125 and you're three putting, or if you miss the green and then you got to get up and then three putt or whatever it may be, I mean, a lot of your blow up holes are that of That's that
right.
nature.
That's right. That's
you
right.
know, it's a three putt or it's taking two to get on the green, then another two.
Because even if you're solid from 150 out, if you hit the ball in the woods, take a penalty shot, you can escape most holes with a bogey.
Yeah.
If your short game's good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You said 150?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. But I still think 150 to me is still kind of a. I mean, that can be. Not everybody is really good. I mean, everyone's not consistent from 150.
No, right.
But I think that if you can be consistent from 100 or 120, like, start there.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, start from your sand wedge to your pitching wedge. And really, that goes back to Brendan.
Right.
I mean, I saved probably 8 to 10 strokes just from getting consistent from 100 in.
Right.
If you can do that, you know, then that's, I mean, it just saves you strokes. I mean, it can save you 1 to 2 strokes a hole. I mean, you're talking literally 10 to 15 strokes.
Mm-hmm. We had a quick PGA update, right? You wanted to talk about...
I was watching a little bit this morning, well, yesterday and today, the Byron Nelson. Just a couple points, things that stuck out to me. One is very cold this morning. I don't know if you all saw any of it.
And very windy, by the
windy,
way.
Windy. They had on stocking hats. I mean,
where is it?
It's in Dallas, Texas.
They have some bad storms in Texas right now.
But, well, the storms are past them now.
Well, yeah, but it's probably that...
That they left over behind them. Yeah, so they had gusty winds. It was 53 degrees this morning.
Mm.
So most of Tony Romo, interesting thing about Tony Romo, a couple of things. One, they did a like a fan poll to see who's going to be the feature group today.
Mm-hmm. And everybody wanted to see Romo.
Right. So he was plus five when I left this morning.
That's your quarterback.
As Terrell Owens once said. Right, that's my quarterback.
So he won that. Like I said, he was plus five.
By the way, in the first round, I was watching him. He was plus two until he got to nine. He double bogeyed nine, and then the wheels fell off.
Okay, but did you notice his putter? You got to look up some of this, see some of the highlights to see how he holds the putter. Uh-huh. It's just like somebody will hold a hockey stick. I mean, one hand is at the top, and one is way down here. He's bent over like he's like he's doing a slap shot for real.
Interesting.
Yeah, but he putted pretty well.
He has a lot of control over it doing that, I'm sure.
Yeah, he must, but he because there was one poll I saw.
Clearly, it's not head coaching.
Right, he was 110 yards away, 110 feet from the cup, and he putted it to like 3 feet.
Wow,
with that crazy.
Now he hurt.
Yeah. That's my quarterback.
Claude is our resident Cowboy fan. He hurt his neck or his back. I can't remember.
Both. Throughout his career, I mean, he hurt his back. He broke his collarbone twice.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it's. I'm surprised. That he can actually
do that.
That he can play golf at all. Given that
Tiger played. Tiger had all those surgeries.
Yeah, that's true. That's a good.
But he wouldn't get hit.
But he wasn't. Yeah, he
was different.
250-pound linebacker breathing down his neck every other play.
So. A little different. Yeah. Right.
The only other thing I'll say about that course is it's ugly on TV. Mm-hmm. It has no. I mean, there's no. It's like one tree basically on the entire course.
Yeah.
It's. I mean, it's a link style.
I like that.
Well, yes and no. It's almost like a British. Oh, it's a link style course. Uh-huh. But a lot of tall grass, you know, over in the side stuff, so you lose your ball.
That I don't like.
But it's not a very picturesque. You know how the Masters, Augusta.
Well, wait until next week when they're at Bethpage Black. That's a nice course.
That's trees.
That's a beautiful course.
Yeah, but this
well,
other one is just, it's just ugly. I mean, it's just nothing pretty about it. So
yeah, from the
visually
former.
From TV, there's nothing nothing attractive about it at all.
Yeah, I'm not it's even Dallas. Really into. I mean, I watched a little bit of it, but I don't. You know, I'm not. I don't
even
think
the,
it's take much
even
my time
the guys that are playing at like B level. I won't say B level, but. Quite a few, let me I take that I think I repeat what I said.
Yeah, you said
few,
that.
It's quite a few B level players there.
Earlier in the week we did a straw poll between just us to see if Roma would make it.
Right.
Would make the cut.
Right.
And LB said the field isn't that strong, he may have a shot. So
he's pissing his pants.
Yeah. And I joke Dallas only as a former Redskin fan, so for our Texas listeners. Yeah. Don't take it personal.
There we go. Hey, Vern, man, thanks a lot for joining us on the show. By the way, you can find a lot of the videos on our Instagram page, GolfDMV1. Vern, man, Vern sent me an email last night, with today being Friday, Thursday. I mean, he's got big video plans for the podcast. So, Vern, thank you for your work and for just diving in with it and putting in some videos and you know, putting them on the IG page.
No problem, homie. I'm just trying to help out the team, man. I appreciate y'all having me on.
Appreciate
hey,
it.
Hey, Vern, before you go, so Road to Par, I got to give a shout-out to it's – if you look them up on Instagram and Twitter, Road the number 2 Par. So Desiree there, she helps. She runs that website, I guess. And they have. So we're actually going to be recording live June 6th. Mm-hmm. They have happy hours at Lake Prez, right on, you know, Vern's backyard, every Thursday night during the summer from 6 to 10 p.m.
Nice.
So we'll be recording live for our listeners. You know, number one, go follow their page on IG. It's a great page. They have like a cigar thing coming up. They have a jazz thing coming up.
Yeah, like Puff and Par or something like that.
Yeah, Puff and Par or something. Then they got something on the fairways. Marcus Johnson, local jazz
Flow
artist.
On the fairways, I think
Flow
it's
on the fairways, like there you go. Yeah.
They got a lot of names for things.
Yeah, it's all golf related. Yeah. So, but we'll be recording live June 6th right there at the in the clubhouse or dining room, whatever they got out there. From 8 to 9.
Yeah, send me the IG handles or whatever, and I'll hit them in my phone and follow them.
Okay, cool. And also, while we're on that, for our listeners, follow them. It's Road, the number 2 Par, and also Beltway Golfer.
So yeah, we had fun with him last night. Yeah.
Who was in studio with us last week. Make sure you give him a follow on Twitter. And both of them are Road 2 Par and Beltway Golfer on Twitter and IG.
There we go. Vern, thanks a lot, man. Appreciate it.
No problem. Thanks.
All right, cool. So, yeah, make sure you follow those. And by the way, yeah, come out to the happy hour.
Yes,
June 6th, we're going to record live. We'll shake hands, kiss babies.
Sell hats.
Yeah. Or we'll kiss hands We won't shake babies.
Oh,
well, I mean, that's
it depends. They screaming.
Well, that was LB who said that. By the way, LB, Desiree did reach out to us and said, "Are any of you guys cigar smokers?"
Oh, absolutely.
I said, "Well, LB's a big cigar smoker, so she will have one on hand for you."
Oh, absolutely. I like Desiree already.
Yeah, that's going to be fun.
It's going to be a great time.
Yeah.
So it's every Thursday. That's their summer kickoff. So you guys make sure you get out and support Road to Par at Lake Prez this summer on Thursday nights.
Right.
Cool.
Right. We'll do that.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to announce, remember, this is my birthday month.
Right.
So my birthday is going to be the 16th this coming Thursday. I will be co-hosting the Blues Show at WPFW from 12 noon to 1 p.m., helping them raise money to keep the station afloat.
Nice.
So I will send out a I'll post it on the Instagram page as well to reminder as a reminder. But people listen, support, send in donations.
And what's the hours again?
It's from 12 noon to 1 p.m.
Okay.
And you can listen online at WPFWFM.org. WPFWFM.org. You can listen online. On your radio dial, if you're in the D.C. area, it's 89.3 FM from 12 noon to 1.
Putting it in my calendar right now.
There you go.
Make sure
So I come in to help them raise money.
89.3.
Yeah.
Got it.
So I, you know, the co-host who's Chris DePropity, her and I have been friends for a little while. So I come in to help her raise money during the fundraising time. So
you're really good on air too, by the way.
I'm trying to be the rainmaker. So I need people to come to step up and support.
Is it still a fundraiser?
Yeah, well, okay. They do it every season. So every season they have a fundraiser to keep, because they don't take any corporate sponsorship, and people like me can actually get on the air.
You know, in my typical lateness, I mailed them maybe a month ago the donation that I vowed
from
last year.
From last year's birthday.
Yeah, but they still cash it. I mean,
absolutely. They're not going to let it go.
Don't forget, we have the Bethel Christian Academy golf tournament coming up this Monday.
And we'll have a full review of that.
Yes. Yeah, playing the Woodlands up in Baltimore. So LB, Vern, Bernanda, and I will be playing.
Maybe 50%. Or maybe not on the same team, but we'll have more on that later.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I got an email yesterday saying, "You don't pick the teams, I pick the teams." And I said, "Well,
then we not
if
coming.
You want us to play, then
we're going
to
be on the same team.
Here's who's on this team." So
I've never had that. We've just encountered two weird situations with tournaments. The WGTS tournament started at, it was a 1:30 p.m. shotgun.
Right.
Never heard of that before.
Right. The only time I've heard of that is for a 9-hole tournament.
Right. Which just ended up being
but it wasn't supposed to be, right?
Right, exactly.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Well, yesterday when I went to Blue Mass, a tournament, they were eating and stuff, and I got there about 6. No, I got to about 7. And they were just doing their food. Well, there was a tournament there yesterday, so I don't know what time
they
could
have had. Some of them will start at like 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. So I was supposed to be playing in one for Johns Hopkins on Monday. And that is I think that's an 11 a.m. shotgun start.
Okay. See, I like 11 a.m. because you're not really dealing with a lot of traffic. And it's still early enough to kind of, you know what I mean? I'd rather they start in the morning. I'd rather they be 9
I'd rather them start 9 o'clock.
Oh, yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Get in. Get, and that's what the ones at, what was the golf club? Woodmore.
Woodmore.
Right.
When I would play the at Venice tournaments there. Actually, on which is the campus that WGTS is on, surprisingly enough.
Right.
But when I would play their golf tournaments, they're always at Woodmore, and they would start like 9 o'clock.
So, yeah, it's weird. Just these two things with these two different tournaments.
It's very weird,
you get that with the time, and then this, that won't let you choose your team. It's like, I don't know.
It's their first time doing it, and I think I understand why, but I'm waiting to get the email clarification on that.
Okay.
But, yeah.
And I might actually be headed back to Las Vegas for work on Wednesday. I'm not sure yet.
Oh, really?
And so it's going to be real tight. Like, I'm literally going to be leaving early Wednesday morning, coming back in town Thursday morning.
Ooh,
wow.
But I'm going to see if Paul Wilson's available. If he's going to charge me, then no.
Right.
But just to see if he's available to to talk and maybe play 9 holes or something like that. But we'll see.
Hey, and shout out to Rob over at Compass Point. Sent us a really nice email last month that we didn't read until yesterday. Wants to have us up there. So they're doing a ton of stuff up there.
Compass Point.
Yeah. They have they have some golf logic, some I don't know. I forgot what he said.
I saw something on social media they were doing. It seemed really innovative. Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, up there. So
trying to get people on. Got to get people to say butts in the seat.
Yeah, it's what Alex was saying last week.
Exactly.
The Beltway golfer was saying last week. You know, you gotta be innovative.
Yep.
But anyway, sent us a really nice email saying he heard the show. Thanks a lot for our review. That we always like Compass Point.
Sweet.
And
it is a really nice course.
I mean, it's beautiful. That's the crown jewel of Anne Arundel County, right?
Well, yeah, I think so. And you also, I mean, you have, you've got four nine-hole sections. I mean, you know, right. You're never going to be there, you know, stuck behind people or, you know, you, for the most part, not going to expect a long round because there's just so many different options.
And I think they always go northeast, southwest, if I'm not mistaken. But whatever it is, they can always mix it up. If they needed to, they could do it.
We should talk to him, see if we can get out there and do a,
he wants
do
us
a
to.
36-hole situation.
Oh,
where we play northeast, have lunch, and then play southwest and have dinner.
Yeah. Wow. I've done that before.
Yeah.
I mean, if we're going to travel there, we might, you know. Yeah, and then we'll review the course. We'll have them on.
The other thing, for those listening who don't know where it is, it's in Pasadena. It's very easy to get to.
Straight out 100.
Just go straight out 100, hang a left on, like, something, gooseneck, turtleneck. I don't know what it is. Some road.
Neck,
hogneck. I don't know. But, yeah, it's down that way. But it's a, I mean, it is a beautiful. I've never played another course in Anne Arundel County that was that nice.
Yeah, no, it's nice.
And I
it's
may not, it's have not ever a, played another course in Anne Arundel
I'm gonna
County.
I'm going to say, I'm not sure. Is Eisenhower, was that in? Is Eisenhower even still open?
I don't know. Never played it.
Never played it either.
Okay.
Every time we tried to play it, it was always an issue with something. Yeah.
Is that up that way?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we'll see. Okay, cool. That'll be coming up. By the way, happy Mother's Day this Sunday to all the moms. We'll celebrate you when we tee off on one.
I'll be celebrating with my mom.
There you go.
I mean, no, I'm sorry. That's not true. I celebrated with my mom last weekend because she had to have some minor surgery, so mom healed up. She's doing well. Had surgery yesterday. She's doing well today. But I'll be celebrating with my wife and my mother-in-law for brunch Sunday. So
there you go. Cool. Perfect.
And happy birthday, Cam Bernanda.
Absolutely.
Love you much. And
don't forget birthday to me. Happy birthday to me.
It's not your birthday yet.
But it will be by the time they get to this podcast. This is the last podcast before my birthday.
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Lauren.
Happy birthday, Alfie. Enjoy your time at WPFW.
Yeah. Enjoy this whole month.
89.3 FM on your FM dial.
There it is. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to Golf DMV. See you next time.
Peace.
Good night.
Thanks, everybody, for listening to Golf DMV.